Thank you, Jenny. This mic may need turning up, I don't know. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah? Okay, good. You may wish to move if you can't see the screen. There will be some slides coming up. Up to you. Our faith and our money are interwoven, just as our faith and our personality, our time, our priorities are all interwoven. Jesus talked a lot about money during his ministry. In fact, 16 of his 38 parables relate to money or wealth or possessions in some way. And there are four times as many verses in the Bible about money, wealth or possessions as there is about faith or prayer. So this must have been an important subject to Jesus. And we've been looking at four of his parables about money and possessions over the last month as we've been doing our series on stewardship. And we're finishing this week particularly thinking about how does this relate to financial giving. So with all that in mind, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your generosity to us. Help us to understand more about what it means to be generous with our finances. Amen. One parish church, when they were trying to work out how could they increase income for the church, decided to put up on the notice board a list of all those who gave regularly to the church and how much they gave. This caused everyone to be more and more generous as they tried to outgive one another. Now, before anybody gets worried, we're not planning to implement this here in the parish of Herne Hill. But it is important that we talk about money, as Jesus talked a lot about money. So you may ask, well, why should I give my hard-earned money to the church? Good question. Well, if you are not a Christian, then there's absolutely no reason at all why you should want to give any money to the church. However, if you are aware of the loving sacrifice that Jesus made when he went to the cross for you, then there's every reason that you'd want to give out of gratitude, out of worship, out of love and adoration for God, who gave everything up for us through Jesus. So we're going to try and put things in a biblical perspective. Now, in society, what the world teaches us is private ownership. What I have is mine. And that is where greed and selfishness, waste, ruthless ambition, starvation and poverty all come in. But the Bible teaches something different. It talks about stewardship. And in this verse from Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." Those words may sound familiar when we say our offertory prayer at the end of the service. So all the things that we have, and that's more than just money, actually they belong to God. They're given to us by God. They belong to God. Everything is his. And he calls us to be stewards of what he's given us. And one day we're going to have to give an account of how we've used the things that he's given us. Like the rich man in the parable that Jesus told in Matthew 6, we must be careful not to store up treasures on earth and instead store up treasures in heaven. Keith Tonder, in his book, Your Money and Your Life, tells this story. As a young Christian, I was involved in running a youth group. One thing that this group of teenagers did was to support a basic Bible study course that was done primarily by people in the third world. Each month, several of the students would ask for a Bible, and the young people clubbed together to buy Bibles and send to all those who requested them. On one occasion, they received a request from a person who was being held in a high-security prison. They dutifully sent off the Bible. About 2 months later, we received our reply that affected us all very deeply. The letter said this: "I cannot begin to tell you how joyous I felt when the Bible came. I've been reading it for hour after hour, and it's been a great strength to me. I've also been sharing its teaching in the prison, and I'm delighted to tell you that 6 prisoners have become brothers in Christ as a result. I'm not sending the next part of the course back. We're all being executed tomorrow." The kids from that youth group are going to get some welcome when they get to heaven from those who they gave the Bibles to. And what is more, they're going to have forever to rejoice. They probably went without magazines and sweets to be able to buy those Bibles and sell them off to those men. They definitely got their treasures in heaven. Some people worry that if we give money to God, to the church, then we may be left going without. But what we have to realise is who God is, what his character is like. God is good. His nature is to give, not to take. One of the names for God is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or the Lord my provider. We don't give money because God is hard up. We give to show him how precious he is to us. We give out of worship. And when we do that, he releases his blessing on us, as we heard in our reading earlier. Over the years, I've seen God provide for us as a family in amazing ways. We give regularly to the work in the parish here in Herne Hill, and also as a family, sponsor a child through the charity Compassion. Now, sometimes money has been tight, but we've never stopped our giving. We've had to adjust it over time as circumstances have changed, and we all should do that, review our giving. But we found that as we have given generously to the church and elsewhere, and as we've gone before God in prayer, he's always provided everything that we've ever needed, and much more. There's another passage that talks about God's provision, which is from Malachi chapter 3. And it says these words, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." So how much should we give of our money? Well, this verse in Malachi seems to imply we should be giving a tithe, which is a old language for 10%. And this is a figure that is throughout the whole Bible, starting right back in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham gave a tenth to the priest Melchizedek. 10% is enough to be meaningful, but not so much as to make life impossible. Now, some give above this, some give less than this, some give before tax, some give after tax, and those details are between you and God. I don't know what people give. I don't want to know what people give. That's between you, God, and the treasurer, Peter. We also heard in our gospel reading, Jesus criticised the Pharisees and teachers of the law because they were giving a tenth of everything, literally everything, including their herbs and spices, but they were neglecting something more important, which was justice, mercy, and faithfulness, saying they should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So if Jesus wanted to abolish tithing, this would have been a really good place to have done it. But he doesn't. Instead, he says they should have practiced justice, mercy, and faithfulness as well as tithing. In the Old Testament, tithes were brought into the temple, and also they brought in offerings as well. And in reality, actually, the Jewish people of the Old Testament gave probably about 25% of their income to God. In the book of Acts, we hear stories of people giving everything, selling their properties, bringing it to the disciples' feet, and for them to distribute out to those who were in need in the community. And then in Luke chapter 21, we have the story of the widow's mite. And people were giving their gifts. And the poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people have given their gifts out of their wealth, but she has given out of poverty all that she had to live on." The widow's gift was sacrificial, it was costly, it was generous. Now, some people here may be feeling a little bit like the widow. Actually, in reality, you might be in debt, or maybe you're living on benefits and you don't really have enough to live on. And I'm not suggesting you do what the widow of mite does. Keith Tondeur, who I quoted earlier, started the Credit Action Christian Money Education Charity, and he suggests this. Everyone who is working should tithe. However, if you have substantial debts and have made every possible sacrifice yourself first, you should set aside at least 10% of your income to clear your debts and then use that money for giving after you're out of debt. Those who are on benefits and thus have not earned any income should give whatever they can. This is why the story of the widow's mite is so powerful. Remember that God looks at what we hold back, not on the amount that we give. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples to give up everything, don't look back, to follow him. And as we saw earlier, everything in the earth belongs to God. Our money, our possessions, it all belongs to God. So the real question is not how much should I give, but how much of God's money should I keep? In verse 6 and 7 of our passage, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should overflow out of our love for God and not under pressure. So please hear me. Today, I'm not trying to pressurize you to do anything at all. It's totally between you and God. Sadly, sometimes TV evangelists and others have used verses like this to put pressure on people to give. But actually, any form of manipulation is not of God. Any giving should be prayerful and in response to what God has done for us. He wants us to be happy about our giving. For different people, he'll ask you to give different amounts. But having said all of this, we may need to ask ourselves some tricky questions, like, well, how much do we actually need to live on? Are we spending wisely? It's important to budget so that we can afford to feed and clothe ourselves and any dependents and not wasting our money. But after we've done that, could our money be put to better use instead of buying that thing that you know that you didn't know that you needed until you saw an advert on Instagram? If you need help budgeting, do speak to Becky, who runs Cap Money courses to help with that. And that's something that I've done myself. I found it very helpful to do. Actually made us help us to save some money for a change rather than just spend it all. The world produces enough food to feed everybody in the whole world. Yet, 733 million people in the world, that's 1 in 11, go hungry every day. 9 million people die from hunger-related causes every year, and many are children under the age of 5. And if we eliminated greed from the world, there would be no starving children. So we mustn't waste our money. Instead, we're called to be generous and good stewards of what God has given us. So where should we give? Well, the Bible shows that the tithes are brought to the temple as part of the act of worship. And giving is far more than just a financial transaction. It's spiritual. And it speaks of our relationship with God. And this includes donations that you might give online through the parish giving scheme as well. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And this picture here is of the baptism service that we had recently at St. Saviour's with members of St. Paul's as well as members of St. Saviour's. And it was really encouraging. And it was a sign of the new wine, those first fruits blossoming from the generosity that people had given. And we give thanks to God for every person who got baptised or reaffirmed their baptism vows. When we give generously, God blesses what we're doing. It's in the context of corporate worship that our giving belongs. So firstly, we give to God's work in the local church. And so if you're a member here at St. Paul's, I invite you to commit to regularly giving to the church if you don't already do that. I know many of you do that already, and I'm very thankful for all the generosity that you've given over the years. But if you don't give regularly at the moment, please do consider doing so. And where does your money go? Peter showed this at the APCM, but if you weren't there, basically 10% of what you give us then goes straight out again to local charities and also to our mission partners abroad, Arusha, International Justice Mission, and the Rock of Joy School in Uganda. And information about that is on our mission boards and our website. And then the rest of it goes to all of our community outreach, church services, ministries, making buildings safe, warm and welcoming, paying our staff, supporting poorer churches in the diocese through the Parish Support Fund. Your generous giving is vital to the work of God here in Herne Hill. And last year, just some highlights of what your money was able to do. So we saw 35 new children and youth join our congregations. We're able to keep our buildings warm and safe and welcoming, including redecorating at St. Saviour's and fixing the heating so that we could host a winter shelter. We also restored the organ here at St. Paul's, which was fantastic. We're helping people to budget and find jobs and get out of debt through our CAP money courses and job clubs and debt coaching and lots, lots more. All this takes time and money, and it wouldn't have been possible without your generous contributions. Your money is making a real difference. And I'm going to share one particular story of how your money has made a difference. This is a CAP client that Becky has been helping.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Becky for helping me get debt free. She's been a brilliant help, very, very helpful. And I don't know what I would have done without getting involved with CAP. She's helped me out with a lot of things. I still use the CAF, Hope CAF. I still keep in touch with her. And I'm just really, really grateful for everything that CAP has done for me. Thank you.
And her daughter has also been helped. When her mum got help, her daughter decided to get help as well, and she's also become debt-free, which is really, really great. And we still see them both at the cafe every week, which is wonderful. We encourage people to give via the parish giving scheme. And there's information on these red leaflets at the back, also on our website, also in your newsletters and service sheets. So you can scan the QR code and find out more. And the reason we ask you to give through this method is because it makes the admin burden a lot easier on Peter, our treasurer, because they process everything and then just one lump sum gets paid into the church bank account. So it makes life a lot easier for us. So please do consider using that method if you don't already use it. And also, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and so as part of that, we're asking everybody to review their giving and making a pledge for the next 12 months. And I'll send around an electronic email explains all of that in more detail. But basically, we need to kind of have an idea what people are going to give so that we can budget for the next coming year that's ahead. And it may be, everyone's circumstances change. You might need to give less because of change in your work or whatever, or maybe you just want to give the same, or maybe you're able to give more, whatever you feel you're able to give. And as I said before, I will not know what you're giving. The pledge forms will go to Peter. They will not go to me, so we'll not have a sense other than the main total rather than individuals. One church member who recently retired said to me, "We should encourage people to review their wills, as many people are considering wills at the moment." And actually, I did actually review my own will very recently. So if that's you, if you're in this season of reviewing your will, and as you know, you don't have to be retired, you could still be working like me, then we've produced this legacy leaflet. They're available at the back. It's also on the website, which explains a bit more about how you might be able to leave a legacy or how to do a will if you're not sure how to do a will. Again, no pressure, but if you'd like to, feel free. And we've used those legacies in the past to help redevelop the grounds here and also at St. Saviour's. and for other projects as well. So we try and put the money to good use. A few words to finish. In Proverbs 28, it says, "He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses." Jesus continues to say in the New Testament that we should be giving to the poor on top of what we give to the church. This could be through a charity or to individuals you know who are in need. But also we have to remember those who are dependent on us as well. In Timothy 5, chapter 8, it says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It's important to give to the church, and it's important to give to those in need. But we mustn't give so much away that we cannot afford to feed our own families. Now, you may be in a place where actually you have spent more than probably what you should have done, and you might be in debt at the moment. And if that is you, or you know anybody at all that's in this position, please get them to ring the CAP hotline or get help from somewhere else. It's on the screen, it's on our newsletter and service sheets as well, 0800 328 0006. And what they will do, they will assign you a debt coach, which could be Becky, or it could be one of our other local debt coaches here from another church. And they will help you get a plan to get out of debt, which might be something which, like a payment plan, or it could be bankruptcy or something else. But by doing so, it just relieves the pressure and stress that people who might be in that position. So do get in touch if you need help. Also, we can issue food bank vouchers. We have a hardship fund as well, support fund for anybody who's any kind of need. So do come and speak to myself, Ben, another member of the clergy, or Becky, and we'd love to help anybody, so please contact us. So, to summarise, we've looked at why we should give and found out that we could give out of love for what God has done for us. We found out that he provides for us when we do that and blesses us. And we also looked about how Jesus talked about giving 10% as a good starting point, and where we should give first to the church, but then also elsewhere as well, to those in need. God wants to give us everything, and in response, or God has given us everything, and in response to that, we give back to him in our worship for our financial giving. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for all the good things you give us. Thank you most of all for dying for us on the cross, that we might have eternal life with you. Help us to know what we should be giving to your work here in the parish of Herne Hill, and also what we should be giving to those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.